I'm back from New York and Austin, and we have a special guest today, along with my co-host Steve Lally. Steve, you held the fort and interviewed Rick Overton while I was away.
Man, I feel like the last lieutenant in the Game of Thrones before the wall falls. I held it down.
You did.
I did hold it down.
Steve, with the Game of Thrones reference, right out of the gate. And today we have our talented comedian, talented, and super funny, Yvette Lamont. And Yvette, I've been promoing the GoFundMe for Sunny, her beautiful pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Blue pit, yeah.
Yeah, and he's doing, and just give an update on Sonny. He's really doing well, right?
Yeah, he's doing great. So it all started about 2 months ago, and he had a limp, and the doctor was like, oh, it's fine. He just has this like mild infection. Give him these antibiotics. And I was like, no, he's getting worse and gaunt and dehydrated. And then we found out he had cancer. And with your help and the help of so many other people, we were able to get the leg amputated. And he's totally like back to being 100% now, just smiling all the time.
Right.
Super healthy. So
and the
happy.
Vet said you should just put him to sleep, right?
Oh, yeah. It was Friday when she diagnosed him. And she was like, you know, have a nice weekend. Make him something nice to eat. See you on Monday.
And Sonny's doing fine.
He's great.
Yeah.
So it was just the leg. The leg had to go.
Yep. And so far, they don't see cancer anywhere else.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's great. You took such good care of him because I follow Yvette's Instagram, live Instagram feed. And I think I mentioned that that Yvette films herself. And you make their food. Three dogs, Jacques. Mm-hmm. Hold it. Let me get it. Jacques, Bear, and Sonny.
Uh-huh.
And Yvette's like, bon appetit. And you make these great dishes. I'm always looking at the dishes and going, that looks good.
I mean, I eat it.
You eat it.
Right. So you're making your food for them.
No, I'm making their food for me.
But that's why you make them good food, right?
Yeah, well, no, I make them good food because I'm obsessed with good food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being
you
healthy.
Were into food. You know, the brief time I've known you, what I love about you is that you just have your interests go all over the place, all over the place. Like me, Steve, and Yvette were talking about crazy fetishes. And by the way, welcome to Pep Talks. And we're going to talk about a lot of things before we get into the dissolution of society, which is happening at a rapid, rapid pace. Do you agree with that?
Fetishes are a nice escape. From the deterioration of the climate breakdown and the economic tragedy that's befalling it's nice to have fetishes like mine are, you know, midgets and pregnant women. You know, I'm into that.
Are you really?
I had to make up something, you know, wild.
No, because the reason I said are you really is because I was at the Comedy Store a couple of weeks ago, and one of the comics just said, Bobby Lee it was, and he was talking to somebody in the audience, and he said, what's your fetish? And the guy just was super honest in front of a room full of strangers, and he said, older women, like really older women. And Bobby said, dude, you shouldn't have said that. He immediately embarrassed him.
And that's Bobby Lee, who's the freakiest, you know. You could tell Bobby Lee's not a, you know, prude. He shocked Bobby Lee. That's pretty good.
Well, it was just so funny because the guy had no, like, filter or guard.
There was no reluctance.
He felt like he was just talking to Bobby. You know what I mean? I think, you know. And Bobby wouldn't. He hammered him the rest of the set, was funny in a bad way. But we were talking outside in the ante room about, like, just weird fetishes. What was furries.
Furries. Super weird, right?
Yeah, people who dress up like animals. And
Steve had never heard of them before.
Never heard of it. Man,
that's a good sign.
Yeah.
For
sweet,
you.
Sweet boy.
Yeah, I'm the guy who can handle intimacy, ladies. I'm the guy who doesn't know about these carnival perverts, basically.
Carnival perverts.
Hey now.
No, and what I was saying, as is my wont, is to mimic Chris Hedges, because I was reading today about just how porn is so mainstream. Like, you know, I feel like people should come out of their house now and go, hey, Dan, did you see the new video on RedTube where they hung the woman upside down and beat her with that stick? I thought it was terrific. They did a great job. Like, I just feel like it's so mainstream that people are going to be talking about it like they're saying, you know, hey, great to see you today. But, right. So Hedges talks about how porn has ruined a couple of generations of men and then therefore women, because it's all about degradation, and it's just like there's no intimacy.
Okay, but
that's what we were talking about,
right?
That there's no intimacy, right? People are so disconnected. They're afraid of each other. Hmm. Right, men and women.
So that's why the demand for porn is there, because people are so afraid of each other.
Right, and also like the men who watch porn constantly are bored with a real woman. They're bored because they need that. You know, they need someone hanging upside down. They need, you know, whatever. I don't know why that's.
I don't know about that, because I do watch not a lot of porn, but I do watch probably like once a week. Porn, you know, I once a week I go.
This is live.
Yeah, I go. Fuck, another week went by and I didn't get any. I might as well go watch somebody doing it. You know, like somebody did do it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me. So there's somebody doing it. It's sad, but it doesn't make me feel like if there was a real woman in front of me.
No, you've never watched a porn video and like after it you were like, God, that was really good. I feel inspired.
No.
Attack the day.
Never. No. I pass out and then I wake up feeling like, oh, like I ate the wrong food.
Right. It's like a hangover.
Totally. That's exactly what it feels like.
Right. But yeah, so intimacy is I remember we were talking once about like poly, like you were talking about the Bay Area, right?
Yeah. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah up there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Steve is like, really?
Man, I'm really out of this.
It's the 101 North, right? To get to the Bay Area.
The 5.
The 5 is quicker if you...
But you got to go through Bakersfield.
So, yeah, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah up there, right?
Yeah, everyone in the Bay Area is polyamorous, which is...
Which means?
Oh, which means that they have multiple... partners, or maybe they have like one primary partner and then they just sleep with a bunch of strangers. I don't know.
Polyamorous is a kind of neat way, or a way of saying I fuck around with a lot of people, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think
I can't commit to anyone. Right. I can't have intimacy.
You know what bothers me more than the porn and the intimacy? The fucking language, polyamorous. That makes it sound so sophisticated. It's really like, I like a lot of different fucking, you know? It's just such bullshit fucking slick way of saying something.
Yeah. But why do you think so the Bay Area is like Sodom and Gomorrah? Is it because there's so much money up there?
I don't know if it's money, like that plus... Mm-hmm. People just devaluing traditional family relationships.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of like very intellectual people there and a lot of people that don't want to have kids, and men are ruined, so we don't really want to partner with any one of them in particular.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a lot of things going on. I'm not into it though. So a lot of people approach me and they're like interested in dating me. And they're polyamorous. And I'm like, I'm just not interested in that at all. Like,
and then they come at you with like, oh, you're not as hip as me.
Yeah, then they start using game theory, right? They're like, and game theory is where you put a woman down.
Reduce you to seduce you.
Exactly.
Oh.
And so
reduce you to seduce you.
They're like, well, if you ever do open up to loving more than one person... And I'm like, nah, you can take your empty sex elsewhere. Ooh, yeah. Like, I'm just really not interested in
but
that.
But they put it in that
you're unsophisticated,
loving,
right?
Like, no, but love, if you can't love more than one, that's your problem.
That's psychotic, dude. And I love more than one, but I would never make someone feel like, I don't know that I would have the narcissism to make somebody feel
right
like they were less because they didn't. That's some fucked up psychotic. Like, what is that mental disease that's going on where people want to reduce you and make you feel less sophisticated about something that's not really sophisticated at all?
It'll be in yes. the next DSM, I'm sure.
It what?
It'll be in the next DSM. The what is that? The
oh, what is
diagnostic
that?
Systems manual where you can read about all the different. Labels that we give mental illnesses.
Oh, that should be in there. That should definitely be in there.
Yeah, we'll call it Sodom and Gomorrah Bay Area.
That would be a funny sketch. A Sodom and Gomorrah modern day where the you know, Abraham or whoever he was comes in and they're like, look, you've got to fuck all these donkeys and shit. Otherwise, they don't kill you. You know, they don't murder you. They just go, look, you know, they shame you. They shame you for not being a fucking...
So it's Old Testament... It's Old Testament polyamorous stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's where my mind goes. You know, Eddie, this is why we have that connection.
But yeah, but you were saying that you had a friend who said the furry convention where people dress like animals, right? I would dress like an elephant, by the way. If I had to do it, I would, because I would want to call attention to the fact that elephants are... You know, they're being poached and they're close to extinction.
You would make a political statement with your furry costume.
He would shame.
Who's gonna suck my trunk
for charity?
To help the elephants. The guy who is using that technique we just talked about.
If you can love more than one elephant.
Right. I'd be a baby elephant, though. You know what I mean? Because that's about my size.
So much weirder.
It's so weirder, right?
Would you give people rides?
Yes. But that is funny. That is funny. Like, yeah, calling attention to the extinction. So anyway, your friend was saying that convention of furries is the weirdest.
Right. So they work at a hotel near a convention center in Chicago.
In Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I went there for a C2E2, which is kind of like a Comic-Con type of thing. And she was telling me about all the different conventions that come. You know, you meet some real interesting people for like the BDSM convention. And I'm like, well, what's the weirdest one? She's like, by far, furries.
By far?
By far. And I'm like, okay, so... Go on, you know. I'm like, I don't know very much at all about furries. I'm like, I don't know. I could wear
which
a pair
is a good
ears,
sign.
You know.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, no, Yvette. These people get super into it. And I'm like, okay, what's the weirdest thing you've seen? And the weirdest thing she had seen was a 9-foot litter box. Like 9 by 9.
People have sex in a litter box.
I don't know, but they bring it to their hotels. I don't know if it's just for the ambiance.
Maybe.
Maybe the smell turns them on.
Oh, God. I just need kitty litter.
Yeah.
And it's one specific animal that needs a litter box. So we know what kind of animals they're dressing as, right? They must be dressed as...
Right.
Cats.
Well, cats are sexy.
Oh, I hope they're not going to the bathroom together in the litter box. Oh. That was just where my mind went. Because that could be...
Well, imagine if you're the person who has to scoop the litter box. Because I have to scoop, you know, my litter box.
That sounds terrible.
What?
That sounds absolutely
awful.
It's
pretty bad.
Human litter box. Crazy. It takes all types, I guess.
I guess so. Makes me feel better about my own... You know, it's always good to know that there's something more sick out there
than your affinity for little people.
Yeah, little people. I love how you.
Women.
Yeah,
little,
I love. I said midgets. Yes, they're little people. Because I don't call them by that name anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
Since 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, since 10 minutes ago, I'm making a statement. I'm making Maya so. Oh, because this is so. There's too much comedy here to actually handle it all. It's just too bizarre and too many balls to juggle.
Too many, exactly. I mean, that's well put. You know, and this is on the week we're talking about fetishes in a decaying. I mean, one element of Rome was decadence. You know, decadence. moral decay, and we're in that stage of dissolution, you know. And today, I usually work at the gym before coming in on Wednesday, and that's to look good for you assholes. And I usually work out at the gym, but I couldn't kind of get out of bed. And we were talking about like kind of crushing anxieties. Like this is kind of a low grade for me. It was a low grade anxiety that was manifesting as kind of a. All my anxiety kind of manifests right here, like in my upper chest, mm-hmm. throat. What do you? You're good with that. You're good with.
I mean, my hippie friends would start talking about like throat chakra or your heart chakra, mm-hmm. and maybe you need to express yourself. Is there something you're not saying?
Well, that's. I'm sure there is. Mm-hmm. But what's funny about me needing to express myself is that I fucking am expressing myself
all the time.
I would hope.
All the time. Yeah.
But what are you not expressing?
That is really key, I think. Mm. You know, what am I not expressing? Mm. Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know.
For me, it's my head. After I eat breakfast and I take a shower and I get out of the hot shower and I feel like I just want to go back.
Oh,
I feel
like something slower. Say that slower and then faster.
That's your fetish.
My fetish is hearing... Breakfast/shower stories.
And slowly we have and quickly.
You would never fit in with the furries.
No.
Yeah, and I just, it's my head. I want to go back. I want to lay back down. Don't worry, a half hour, 15 minutes. Just lay back down for a little while.
Just your head, you don't meaning wanna, it, your thoughts.
I don't know if it's my thoughts or my physical head.
It's both, right?
Yeah. And I want, and I just go, oh, if I just lay down, I'll feel fine. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's noon. You know, it's noon or it's 11:30. And I'm like,
I know.
And there's this anxiety. The anxiety is there because I get up and I'm like, fuck, it's 8:30 in the morning. How am I going to do everything I need to do today? I mean, I have that a lot.
You
got
to do, so you, what you have to do there. It's hard to remember, but this is all about... And what I was going to say about my anxiety today is that I put in my favorite little self-help guru, Eckhart Tolle, into one of my ears, you know, with my earbuds. And I was just listening to him talking about slowing down, you know, getting present. And when you... One of the things, you know, that all the spiritual... teachers talk about is you can't project yourself into the future. Like, how am I going to get everything done today? It's just, you know, focus on the next right action, the next, you know, what's in front of you, right? Are you good at that? You are.
Yeah, I'm very good at that. But I'm bad at everything in the physical world.
So what do you mean?
Like driving and getting around and measuring things and just anything that takes like a spatial capacity.
Oh, really?
That's much harder for me than anything that's more internal.
Right.
I feel like I have a lot of control in my own mind, and then everything outside of that is usually just chaos. But that's okay because I have that slow, steady, easy mind. You should read The Untethered Soul, the book that we were talking about earlier.
Yes, The Untethered Soul.
Not to be confused with The Tethered Soul, which Eddie's working on.
I misspoke and said, I'm reading The Tethered Soul. And I'll tell you, that was not a good thing.
That's how I feel in the morning. I feel like The Tethered Soul. And for a long time, I would meditate in the morning. And it's funny, I would deeply meditate, and I would always think consciously to myself, the slowing down would be happening, and I would think consciously to myself, I could sit here all morning. This is so nice. But if I sit here all morning, I'm never going to get out of here. And you know what? I would always have plenty of time for everything. I would never be late for anything. I don't know what mystically or spiritually was happening, but whatever the slowing down in my mind was actually slowing down time. When I would do that, and I need to start doing that again. I'm just so frantic when I wake up in the morning. I gotta fucking, you know, if I don't reach for the world, yeah. It's gonna slip out of my hands, you know.
But you're reaching for the world by spending 3 hours in bed.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
So. Yeah. Well, the book is by Michael Singer. I just looked it up, The Untethered Soul.
Yeah, you should read it. It's really good. Okay. It's super helpful.
Next time you come, bring me.
Okay.
No, I will get it. I will. I'll library it. I'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good, and it is, you know, all that Eastern stuff about, you know, about kind of being the witness of your thoughts. Do you know what's meant by that? Like, instead of being so, you know, identified with your thoughts, like, oh, I gotta fucking, you know, do this and that. I gotta do this and that. It's like just getting to being able to like step aside from identification and just going, oh wow, look at my mind doing that shit, mm-hmm. right?
It's a head trip, I think, especially when you first get into it and you separate yourself like from your ego, basically, and you stop identifying from it and you realize like, I have these anxieties, but they're not even mine and they're definitely not me. So where are they coming from? What do they mean? How do I let go of them and just focus on the present moment? And having gratitude and peace of mind and being deliberate, it's lovely.
It takes practice, though. You know, you have to do it every day. And
it does.
You know, I don't do it every day, so.
You can journal every day.
See, are you still doing that?
Yeah, I love journaling.
I know. And that's a great way to clear your head, like just getting up and like flushing. It's like a flush, mm-hmm. right? It's like a flush.
I think all these things are about flow, and you're just sort flow. Of letting what is building up mm-hmm. inside of you flow through you
mm-hmm.
so that you have more access to that flow, so that you're not worried about the 900 things that you have to do. You're focused on writing your to-do list. Then you're focused on doing the thing one at a time until it all gets done and prioritizing. And
when I'm meditating deeply, and I'm doing it a lot, what will happen is when I'm making that to-do list, it will just miraculous, simple wisdom will go, oh, yes. You know what, this guy,
yes.
I could talk to him tonight because that, so right. When I'm in the frantic, frenetic, it won't occur to me, I'll make the list and I'm moving so fast, but when I'm slow, it'll like little wisdoms and also things that I'm worried about would move out of my way and they would, oh, I would laugh about something that was like vexing me, you know, like, oh, that's not what I'm, mm-hmm. so it's like wisdom almost comes down. To you, right.
Mm-hmm. That's the slowing down. You know what I realize that frantic voice is? I think it's an attack. It's, you know, that voice is an attack on your fucking soul. It's like, it really is. I have, in me anyway, it's not, I need to do this. It's like, you will, like, underneath that. Oh, well, I'm visceral about it. Yeah. You know, it's like, you will never get this done, and you are a piece of shit. It's a real.
You got some real attacking going on. You got some demons attacking you, dude.
Yeah.
You got a drill sergeant in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, and maybe that's what I'm not expressing. You know, is it scares me so much, that voice, that I don't. But even though what I was going to say is that I kind of use that in my comedy, though. Like it is kind of my comic persona to be this loud, angry guy. Right. And I'm not really like that. And it's so funny because most of the people that think they know me, like, don't. Like, they're like, oh, he's the angry guy. He's so. And it's just a part
it's
of
just
me.
You're just amplified. It's a part of you that's amplified. You amplify it to entertain people.
And you channel it.
I channel it.
Yeah, you have these feelings and you look for the outlet that fits well with the rest of who you are. Yeah. Which is easy in today's society because there's so much to be disappointed in.
Disappointed, yeah. It's just, we were talking, well, let's do an ad. This is a good time for an ad. And our first sponsor today, and we have all these sponsors, and they're great. And we have a couple of first-time sponsors today.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, first-time sponsors. And this one, actually, why don't you read this one? It's from Instagram.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I have the hottest Instagram. Of all the three people here, my Instagram is clearly.
I don't think you have Instagram, but I just want to say that Instagram, that these are written by Matt Rossimoto, and no one has paid us for any of the We have a lot of advertisers. We still haven't gotten paid. So
you think?
Please donate to the podcast. We now have a donate button.
Yes.
And I'll be right
please,
back.
Please donate to the podcast. So this way you will subsidize Eddie's trips to the bathroom during the podcast. Instagram is more than a social media app. It is a way to keep in touch, to watch shows, and to shop. Instagram works hard to give people what they really want and make it easier to connect with their audience. This is why Instagram is announcing its new One More feature, the simplest way for anyone to add their name to the ever-growing list of the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates. With just one click, you can become the next Democratic Party presidential candidate. With One More, not only are you automatically registered with the DNC, but you're also scheduled for a grotesquely unctuous interview with Rachel Maddow that promises to be so saccharine that even a hummingbird would get diabetes. You'll also receive violent cash enemas by big corporate donors that will fill you with so much money that there will be no more room for your soul. Will this rob you of moral fortitude? Who cares? The only reason Beto O'Rourke is running is because his neighbor's dog told him to do it, and no one seems to mind. Click One More and throw your body on the heap of 2020 presidential candidates scrambling over each other for the chaotic money grab and flash in the pan fame of politics to derail the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. I added that last part myself. I hope Instagram doesn't. Thank you.
Was that a good ad?
That was pretty good.
You, Instagram, for you know, being part of the podcast, and Matt Rossimoto, who writes these ads, they're good products, and we really want you. And you know, we need more people on the Democratic ticket. How many are there? 21.
I don't really.
I think it's 21.
It's so they're just placeholding till they can get Michelle Obama in the next time. They would rather lose, I think. I really deeply believe they would rather lose with Sanders than win.
Mm-hmm.
They would rather lose with Biden or somebody like that than win with Sanders.
Why?
Because then they have to give up their Wall Street, and they got to give up all their political action committees, and they got to give up their dependency on. I mean, what's holding the whole Democratic Party up? Whatever's behind it. And Bernie Sanders didn't take any money from any of those places, and that scares the fucking shit out of them. Because if he gets in, he's going to hijack them.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much can the president do, though?
Look at Trump.
Yeah, he's
like Ronald Reagan on steroids.
Yeah, what a sad... by the way, today, I was telling Amet about... Because you kind of... I mean, you're one of these people, you instinctually know that things are fucking bad, and you feel like you don't need to follow it. Like,
I used to be super political.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah,
like, from a very young age. Like, I remember when Bill Clinton sold our souls to China in, like, 1994. I think I was 9. And I was just watching TV with my parents, and they were like, this is terrible. And Bill Clinton was talking about how much China is going to buy from us. And my parents were like, China's not going to buy anything from us. What are you talking about? They don't have laws over there. And then I was very political. I mean, I would canvass. I would do all kinds of things. And then we voted W in. Like, the first time he robbed the election. And that was bad enough. But then we voted him in, this thief, this warmongering thief. And then I just gave up and was like, you know what? I can't beat this system. I'm just going to focus on me.
Yeah.
And being like a source of light and a beacon of light, and hope that ripples out as much as possible.
What do you think of that? Because I think we get sick. Like,
well,
we know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just starting to think. Like, I'm getting sick, like physically sick from being so invested in all this shit.
Don't do that.
Dude, I know.
It feeds some dark energy.
It's a dark energy thing.
I can't completely not speak up about. Mm-hmm. It's just hard. I was in. I went and gave my charity and my did my little prayers in this little synagogue in Hollywood, and mm-hmm. the guy was cleaning up.
Wait a minute, you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay.
So ahead. I was, and the guy was cleaning up. He was really pissed off. He's like, "Everybody get out of here!" French guy.
In the synagogue?
Yeah.
He was
they pay me nothing. He was already in a really bad mood, and I was totally
Notre Dame just burned down. Yeah, you totally. Piece of shit.
Yes, yes. Shit. You know, the Mexican guy shows up whenever they pay him $2,000 a month. Me, they pay shit. I'm very upset. So
I think I know him.
You might.
The racist French fella.
He was, to me, I like the guy. And I go, hey, man, I just want you to know that I love you. And I'm, you know, I'm in prayer. And
oh, wow. You told him that?
I told him I love you and I think you're a great guy. And I hope they pay you more. And I'm sorry that it's going like that. And then he said something. He said, this is something. And then he goes, Trump, Donald Trump. And I said, hey, man, and because I know, you know, Orthodox Jews and all around, they love Trump. They love, they're the minority of Jews, but still, they love him.
Why? And, what?
I don't get it either.
It's okay. They perceive he's protecting Israel.
Yes. It's they perceive this whole that he's thing about Israel. Yes. Oh.
Because it's a whole other, again, this is a whole other conversation that I don't want to go down. I just wanted to share that. Mm-hmm. The guy said Trump in a like Trump. The guy said Trump in this great thing, and I go, dude, can you just do me a favor? I'm used to getting ganged up by the Orthodox Jews, but let's not talk about politics in here, and don't bring up Trump because I'm just not a Trump guy. So
is he pro Trump?
Oh, he said something pro Trump, and right. I try to gently say to him, which I shouldn't have even done. I should have just let it go.
Yes,
that was my mistake.
Yes.
I said, can we just not discuss Trump because I am not. I want to let you know, I know you think everybody in here is pro-Trump, but I am not. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what? Not Trump? And he said something else, and I let him everything. I let
After
him.
After telling
go,
him you love him.
I go, yeah, dude, he's empowering Nazis. We're Nazis marching when Obama was president. We're Nazis shooting up synagogues when Obama was president. He couldn't even, his head was shaking. One, you're a socialist? I go, yeah.
Socialist.
I go, yeah, I'm an FDR. I go at him. Not that everything I said wasn't right or justified, but I walked out of the synagogue. You ready for this? I walked out. The pedals on my bicycle were stolen.
Ooh.
The pedals and the kickstand.
You manifested pedal theft.
No. What happened was God was telling me, don't fucking bring that shit into the synagogue. Don't do it in there. Don't. It doesn't matter if you're right. Don't do it. Don't bring. It's feeding dark energy. So,
talking about stillness, that should be a place, right? Any house of worship, quote unquote, should be a place of stillness. Don't you think?
Yeah.
And love.
That was bad.
I started off good.
It started off good. The guy was.
Politics, but like with me, it's like I just have been so radicalized by the things you're talking about. Clinton, Bush, the theft of the election, all the fucking warmongering that's gotten worse and
the lobbying, the Supreme Court. I mean, the list
there
goes
is no
on
democracy.
And on.
Greg Palast, who's another great guy to read, and he works for the BBC. He couldn't do his reports in America. They wouldn't put him on the air, so he's working out of the BBC. And he wrote a book called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which is what is going on now. All the lobbyists, you know, it's just all these elected officials, they're bought and paid for. And the reason I'm radicalized is because so many people, and this is the thing, I guess, so many people are suffering now. They're suffering, you know? Financially, they're suffering, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, driving around L.A., you're in Northern California, right? But driving around L.A., it's like 10 cities all over the fucking place.
Same in NorCal.
Really?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, especially the Bay Area. And there's a lot of
In the Bay
people.
Area.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who live on the side of the road in a van or an RV.
Yes.
Well, we have that. And if you go down Venice Boulevard, it's
all
it's
over.
Not the tents. The tents kind of, some of the people, because I'm on a bike, so if you go by these people, mm-hmm. some of them kind of want to be there. I'm not going to say all of them want to be there, but at the tents, some of those people like living under the freeway.
You think some people like camping that much that they want to live under a freeway?
Believe it or not, a couple of them are just so at home there. They look happy. I don't know what they're on, but Sepulveda to the beach, there's these RVs. The RVs, and those are people.
There's tons of them.
There's tons of them, and those are people who lost a house or an apartment because they're downsizing to an RV. Mm-hmm. Those aren't people who saved up for their RV. I don't believe. I think my instinct tells me that these are people who had one time, and now they've been displaced by whatever high rents, losing a job,
and
whatever.
Rents are going up and up and up.
Crazy,
and it's crazy. It's got to the point where the rich are juicing the poor, to use a juice.
To the point? I feel like it's been there. What are you talking about?
But I mean, it's really bad. It's like getting worse every day, I think.
Well, we're not even feeling what Trump's doing yet. We're feeling what happened. We're feeling what happened at the end of Bush and Obama. We won't even feel Trump. We won't feel Trump, the tax cuts, the $1 trillion that we're going to give to the wealthy to keep us, like, we're going to keep paying the rich to take care of us. That's basically the socialism for the rich. That's what we've been living under. Mm. We're feeling Obama's.
It's capitalism for the poor and socialism for the rich. But getting back to what you were saying, Yvette, is like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, stepping out. Ken Kesey, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, among other things, said, he said this a long time. He goes, walk away, man. Just walk. He's a big LSD guy, too. He's like, walk away, man. Walk away. It's all fucking bullshit. Like, and you kind of did that,
right?
Yeah,
I very much prescribe to that philosophy.
So that's made you sort of more spiritually healthy then.
Yeah,
That's what I wanted to talk about is like spiritual health, you know? And shouldn't there be spiritual health gyms instead of like all the, like instead of getting on a fucking treadmill? I mean, I get on the elliptical and that's not to brag. A lot of people, they can't do it, but I get on the elliptical and I put it up to resistance number 3.
wait, is this before or after your trainer has you crawl with the weights?
I was saying that I get trained by a Navy SEAL, but he's an elephant Navy SEAL. An elephant SEAL. You know the elephant SEALs, they're in NorCal. Yeah. They're up by Hearst Castle, which is a beautiful castle. If you guys get a chance, go visit Hearst Castle if you want to see how the other half lives. I think it's a museum now.
Like, I haven't been, but I've
seen
I've seen it from the outside. Yeah, it's beautiful.
You see, yeah, it's supposed to be amazing. But spiritual gyms, why aren't there places where we could go on a machine or have traits, right? Well, maybe I'm thinking of ashrams. I don't know. Maybe that's the spiritual gym.
I was going to say AA programs. Those are very spiritual and people go there. And
that's true.
I don't know what exactly they achieve, but
I don't know exactly what they achieve, you know.
But they're working on it. You know, it's a practice.
Well, you know what is great about the 12-step groups? I'll tell you what's great about the 12-step groups is people speak the truth.
Mm.
Which is also why are you laughing at that?
I used to go to 12-step meetings like I was Marla from Fight Club.
You were what?
Marla, remember? She goes to like the prostate meeting and she goes.
I never saw the movie.
Oh, she would just go to the meetings.
Fight Club? I never saw Fight Club.
You need to watch Fight Club.
Really? I didn't like Fight Club.
What?
No.
I wasn't into
Fight Club.
Are you a man?
It's so
imagine you started emasculating Steve.
What kind of man are you?
I don't know. I didn't dig it. There were parts of it that were cool, but
it's brilliant.
She goes to she goes to meetings because she's into
her and Edward Norton both go to all these meetings that they don't belong at, and that was me.
Is that right?
Why? Yeah.
Why were you doing that?
At the time, I had just graduated from law school, and I was feeling very like lost, and I was just craving truth and honesty and people who had been through something and had that like overcoming
I think there
experience.
Are a lot of people who go to 12-step groups like that, like and no, I mean it. I mean, there's a lot
it's
of Yvette Lamonts out there who because truth, I don't know if it's there's truth spoken in the synagogue. I always find religious metaphors. Do they get into parables?
You can feel if it's, I mean, I can feel.
Do they get into parables? Because I hate when they're going, you know, Abraham. It's like, come on.
I mean, what do you mean?
I like that stuff.
Yeah,
you do?
Yeah, I mean, metaphors, literature, whether you're talking about.
It is
about
literature. So the Bible's literature, not journalism, it's literature.
All right.
So that the commentary on
I feel like I'm being attacked.
But the whole Bible, one rabbi put it great. He said the entire Bible is actually being kind to other people and kindness and love, and the rest of it's all commentary. It's all commentary and squabbling among rabbis, but it's really all you're supposed to help people and be, you know, love people like you would love yourself. That's right. The whole Bible, and you know, so.
But the truth, like I think also the popularity of podcasts is that they aren't filtered by corporate media, you know? And you know what I mean? And like, you know, we speak truth here, you know? We speak it more than any other podcast. And that's my promise to you, that Pep Talks is all about the truth. And I lay myself, you know, as a 21st century man, just naked in front of you assholes.
Okay, here's the truth.
Yeah.
You weren't getting the truth because you're too beautiful and people are afraid, especially men are afraid to be. And it goes to the AA meeting because a mutual friend of Eddie's and I, whose name we won't mention because it's AA, said to me, he said, when I go to these meetings, the guys are all being honest until a beautiful woman walks in. And then the confessions all change.
I get more honest when the beautiful women come in because I know that's what they want honesty, right? They don't want some guy.
You're so intuitive.
Because women can tell immediately when you're bullshit, you know, right? Yeah. I think, anyway. You know, so as soon as a beautiful woman walks in to a 12-step meeting, I'll be like, and I'm just scared. I'm very frightened all the time.
By the way, he says the same thing in pitch meetings for his television show. I'm scared and I want a show and I don't feel well. Give me a show and I'll feel better.
Those are the first things I say to the studio heads. Hey, look, before we get into the, we have a new subscriber, PG Rice. Thanks, PG, for subscribing. what was I? Oh, yeah. I go into studios and just go, before we pitch, I'm just not feeling good and I'm frightened. And I could use at least some money
up front
today.
Vance, and I need to borrow your car. He said,
is this real?
This is real.
That's amazing.
What did real. I want to borrow
said,
your
car. I need to use your car.
But it's all my character, though. You know, it's calculated by me.
You know, strategic.
Danny DeVito, when he went into audition for Taxi, he didn't. He just took the script and he dropped it on the table. And he, who wrote this shit? Who wrote this fucking garbage? And they gave him the part. So,
wow.
They do want your honesty. They do want your essence like
but
that.
But maybe DeVito, who, by the way, now Danny DeVito sells M&Ms.
Really? And,
yeah. He's a shill. He sells M&Ms. He sells espresso.
Wait, what's the other one? Isn't there
Nespresso.
No, but there's like a insurance thing or something, right? Isn't there?
I don't know, but he's just a shill. So back then, though, maybe he was hungry.
That was
he was
the 70s,
a hungry actor.
Yeah.
You know, and he thought maybe it was a brilliant move to do that. Well, obviously he got the part, but like, okay, what would Louis De Palma do? You know, that's right. Good.
That was great.
I get too uptight in front of, you know, like I haven't had an audition in a while, but when I do, I get a little uptight. Like, oh, okay, and that's the opposite of what you need
Nobody
to do.
Nobody wants that. Yeah.
Nobody wants that. Absolutely. You know, I go in there and like, okay, you want to be, it's like, I'm going to be a good little boy. You know?
You're not a good boy. What are you doing?
He's acting out a fetish in front of the.
I'm going to be a good little elephant.
I'm going to be a good little elephant.
I heard the casting director's into this kind of a thing.
Shockingly not working out.
All right. I'm going to read another ad. And this is another new sponsor. And by the way, we're going to get to messages, too. We have a couple of messages today. And if you want to leave a message for the show, it's 424-262-0904. And this is another new one. It's Mass Blaster Personal Massage. And by the way, my trainer massages me with a massage gun. I've had a fucked up left shoulder since Kennedy got shot. The first John F. Kennedy. Not Robert. Who got shot here in Los Angeles in the Ambassador Hotel, which is no longer here. And neither is Robert. But by the way, I always weave assassinations into my stories about my shoulder. Imagine if every time you talked about your shoulder, you always kind of, like your shoulder being fucked up, you always kind of said, you know, my shoulder is a lot like when they shot Gandhi. It makes no sense. All right. So my trainer, who's great, he has this machine that, like, it's like a little gun that massages my shoulder, and sometimes he'll do my foot as well.
Sounds like physical therapy, brother.
It's partly for me. Yeah.
Did you flake on this guy today?
He wasn't there today.
Oh, so that's why you didn't go to the gym.
That's why he needs the trainer in the first place.
That is hilarious that you say that, because if I did have the appointment today,
you would have gone.
I would have went, but you know what? I needed the rest.
Oh my God. See, he's in more denial than me. I know I'm going into a coma is not natural, but he thinks he really needed.
I believe in taking.
I wanted to be fresh for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really did.
Would you have the intuition to get those fantastic purple sunglasses if you hadn't had
They're
that 40
awesome.
Oh, am I wearing purple? Yeah. I didn't even notice. But anyway, so this is a Mass Blaster Personal Massage. And here we go. Massage guns have become all the rage. And I should know, because my trainer, who I think he uses one on me. So there's Theragun, there's Pure Wave, Hypervolt, and now Mass Blaster. The biggest, loudest, and meanest personal massager on the planet. Mass Blaster comes at your aches and pains with hurricane force. Other massage guns range between 2,000 to 5,000 pulses per second. Like goddamn pussies. Mass Blaster slams your sore muscles over 200,000 times a second with enough force to crumble a preschool. And you want loud? Mass Blaster can reach volumes over 160 decibels. That's 20 decibels louder than fireworks, 30 decibels louder than a jet engine. It sounds like a pile of motorcycles fucking in a garbage disposal. You love power. That's why Mass Blaster comes with untested lithium batteries from Iran. These bad boys are strong enough to power a submarine until they overheat and eventually explode. But you don't care, because the Mass Blaster gives you that sweet, sweet muscle relief. Let Mass Blaster liquefy your pain away by relentlessly pounding into your body with hedonistic force, reducing your body to a skin sack full of stew. You won't feel the pain when Mass Blaster is through with you.
Wow.
Because you'll be dead.
Yeah, no, it's not for everybody. You know, we get all these products. They let us test it out. And it wasn't for
me. I can't. You would. Do you ever want to talk about the first time you tried cream condom? He doesn't talk about it on the show, but when he tested out cream condom, the whole emergency, the whole 911 had to be called, and they brought in the jaws of life. And
what? The jaws of life.
By the way, you out of the condom?
Yeah, yeah. You brush it on and it becomes a condom. It's one of our advertisers that Matt Rasamoto writes. Let's go to a phone call. Let's put on our headphones, everybody.
Okay.
Again, if you want to leave a message for the show, it's 424-262-0904. And here is our first phone call. what am I doing? Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. I wanted to have the hat on as the outfit today. Here we go. Here we go.
Hi, Eddie. This is Michael. I'm sitting in my car in the rain, and it seems like an appropriate time to call into Pep Talks. Since tomorrow is May Day, I thought I'd share a little piece of my one of my favorite pieces of working class writing. The working class and the employing class have nothing in common. There can be no peace so long as hunger and want are found among millions of the working people, and the few who make up the employing class have all the good things of life. Between these two classes, a struggle must go on until the workers of the world organize as a class, take possession of the means of production, abolish the wage system, and live in harmony with the earth. We find that the centering of the management of industries into fewer and fewer hands makes the trade unions unable to cope with the ever-growing power of the employing class. The trade unions foster a state of affairs which allows one set of workers to be pitted against another set of workers in the same industry, thereby helping defeat one another in wage wars. Moreover, the trade unions aid the employing class to mislead the workers into the belief that the working class have interests in common with their employers. These conditions can be changed and the interests of the working class upheld only by an organization formed in such a way that all its members in any one industry, or in all industries if necessary, cease work whenever a strike or lockout is on in any department thereof, thus making an injury to one an injury to all. Instead of the conservative motto, a fair day's wage for a fair day's work, we must inscribe on our banner the revolutionary watchword, abolition of the wage system. It is the historic mission of the working class to do away with capitalism. The army of production must be organized, not only for everyday struggle with capitalists, but also to carry on production when capitalism shall have been overthrown. By organizing industrially, we are forming the structure of the new society within the shell of the old. And that was the preamble to the Constitution of the Industrial Workers of the World. It's changed very little since it was first written in 1905. Thanks a lot, Eddie. Love the podcast. And have a great May Day.
All right. I love that one.
That was fucking awesome.
Right?
That was great.
1905. That's
yeah, the IWW, International Worker World, but they, one thing International Workers of the World.
Okay. Yeah.
International Workers
that
of the World.
That flows better.
Yes. It's all about sounding good. You got to be catchy.
That's totally true. Totally true.
That's what they would tell you now. They would be like, if you brought that into a studio, they'd be like, International Workers of the World.
Oh, that's another funny fucking, the union pitching a fucking title to a corporation.
Ooh, we got a voicemail as we were sitting here.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I love that one. One thing that I was realizing when Michael, and thank you, Michael, for the call, was reading that was that people would never cooperate like that, the way he was talking. At least the way people are so – like when I heard that – phrase, and it was beautiful, an injury to one is an injury to all. How far away are we from that in a way? What do you think? I mean, you're a beacon of light.
That actually resonates a lot. When I was little, I was very different than I am now. I've become cynical and bitter and harder. But as a little tiny girl, I was just the sweetest little ninny in the world. You know, everything affected me so deeply. I had so much empathy. Mm-hmm. So I would see someone be unkind to somebody else on the playground, and that would keep me up at night. And I would just like, oh, why would anyone do that?
Oh, really?
So an injury to one was like an injury to me. I took everything very personally. That wasn't working out, so I stopped.
Good.
Now, you know, even if someone tries to injure me, I'm usually impressively unscathed by it. But I think that, yeah, it's just about empathy, and it's not something that we really value or talk about or promote nearly enough in our culture.
Right, because our culture is about being a winner.
Making money.
Yeah.
Success.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What disturbs me is when the what is it? What did he call it? The employing class? The
yeah,
when they carry a pretense of spirituality and sophistication, like their tickets to Coachella or their Burning Man or their, you know, Comic-Con or whatever fucking extracurricular activities, whatever tropical destinations they're visiting or yoga they're doing or, see, I get a little cynical, but, you know, I just see, because I meet people like that and they carry this air of, I'm a good person and I know you're not. I know you're not a good person. Mm-hmm. I know you're a selfish fucking, disconnected.
What, people who go to Coachella?
Yeah, I'm.
That's a broad stroke.
That's a pretty broad stroke, dude. Yeah, that was pretty bad, but.
Oh, like I can see you with a bullhorn. Oh, you know, like you're in a helicopter that's been lowered, like right above the car. All you folks are narcissistic scumbags. Please follow Pep Talks. We have a donate. We have a donate button. Give your money to something good, you scum. Yeah, I love that sentiment, though. I love that sentiment. And it, you know, of like all for one, one for all, and abolish the fucking system. We're at that point where, you know, and the reason being, and I told you to look this up, Yvette, because Yvette didn't see this, but there was a study put out by the UN about the environment and a million species.
It's over 12%.
Over 12%.
Of species in the world are about to die.
Are about to die. That's crazy. So our ecosystem, our biodiversity is on the brink.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the brink.
Very scary.
It's really scary and just horrific. And one of my big, and this is the thing, like we were talking about, you know, how do you walk away from this? Like, I can't walk away from the animal causes. I know you're like that too.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
And like orangutans, who are fucking beautiful, they are being destroyed by palm oil.
Oh, I did see you post about that.
By the production of palm oil. And I thought sustainable was okay, but it's not. That's bullshit. There's no such thing, really, as sustainable palm oil. And they put it in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They put it in a lot of things, and they have to fucking cut down the orangutan's habitat. Mm-hmm. And these poor fucking creatures, you know.
They just have nowhere to live.
They have nowhere to live. Does it ring a bell?
Sounds kind of like Venice Boulevard.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are the orangutans. You know? Motherfuckers. So I feel like, you know, I don't want to be like bound up in a tight knot of anger and worry. But when I think about extinction of, you know, I wake up going, the orangutans.
It's overwhelming. It's absolutely overwhelming. So you can either get lost in that overwhelmingness or you can just, you know, be cognizant of what it is you stand for and just try to spread that.
Right.
But it's so good to stand for something.
It is.
It's so rare these days.
It is.
Especially among comedians.
I know. No, I was just going to say that, you know, you walk into a club and you don't hear someone going, we have to save the fucking orangutans,
well,
folk.
I hope you do. I hope you're writing a bit, right?
I always should. And I don't mean you, sir. That would be the joke. You look like an orangutan. And I love orangutans, so therefore I love you. You know,
I'm going to take you home with me, sir.
Sir? we have let's listen to this other. We have another call.
Wait, there was something on that last call that I thought has changed, because he was like, this really hasn't changed since 1905.
Mm-hmm.
But that is that the means of production, I think, and we've talked about this before, I think depending on what it is you're into, but us being artists, I think we do
I'm
have
into
the means
the furry. Well, go ahead. I'm kidding.
I'm into litter boxes.
Yeah. You see that? Derailing a social statement.
I know. I'm sorry. That's the comic in me going for the joke. And
I guess, and you.
But go ahead.
Just that we have the means of production, thank you, Steve Jobs, in our hands, because we have these very powerful phones. We have YouTube. We can make art. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, you couldn't make a movie. You can even cut a record. Now we can do all of that.
That is true. I mean, that's what we're doing here, right? Mm-hmm. We're just putting this live.
And this is long form. It's not covered up. You know, it's real. It's authentic. It's present. It's you. It's me.
Right.
And it's...
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that has changed. Yeah.
It's not the soundbite culture that we're used to. It's not something that can be taken out of context. True. It's just, it is what it is. Hope you like it.
We all have ADD now, the soundbite culture.
You know, when the TV was invented, I think it was 1946 or 47.
Farnsworth
invented it?
He invented it, yeah. He was a neighbor. Go ahead.
The government, the federal government and the military-industrial complex got together with Hollywood, and they had a big convention. It's somewhere you can look this up.
Uh-huh.
And the government said to Hollywood, they said, finally, Americans can see what their neighbor has that they don't have.
Oh, great.
That was what the whole purpose of the television was, to drive the economy and sell their products, to keep people keeping up with the Joneses. That's where the term came from.
Wow.
And so that's breaking down, I think, in society. I think that's not...
What is breaking down?
The keeping up with the Joneses, having what your neighbor doesn't have. As the economy, as the middle class shrinks, people don't have anything. Fewer people invest in that or see through that. More people see through that, I think. I'm feeling like more people see through that and they realize that that's such a load of shit.
I still think it drives a lot of people, though.
Now we're not even trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're trying to keep up with, like, plastic Kardashians.
Yeah.
But there, if you look at how many people watch that, you can look up the ratings of those shows.
Uh-huh. Are they?
It's a minor amount of people that actually... It's a fraction, it's a percent of a percent of the population that actually, like, we're supposed to think because it's in our news feed. I never have clicked on a Kardashian.
I've never seen it, but it's in your news feed. It was a big deal.
Right, and that's what the machine is meant to...
She's certainly rich from it.
Yeah.
And that whole family.
But the machine is meant for you to think that that's important to other people, so it should be important to you.
Right.
So as that breaks down... Which I think it is. I believe that's my optimism. I believe it's
breaking down. Well, the oceans.
The college system.
The college system.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was released today this week. You know, the UN coming out and saying all these scientists, 1,000 scientists, I think it was, you know, talking about just the dire, you know, straits. Good band, by the way. About... where we're headed, you know, and it's fucking, it's just, wow. What do you do? I guess what Yvette said, you know, you fucking just, you stand for something and you try to be loving, not the way you traded the French fella in the synagogue.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this next call. It's kind of funny. Here we go.
Hey, Eddie. Hey, Steve. I'm a huge fan. It's by far my favorite podcast. I think I beat Lolly as being a really bad at social media. I'm trying to promote my own podcast, so I was psyched because I learned how to make a mosaic photo. You basically create a huge image in your Instagram feed by cutting a photo into 9 images. Looks awesome, by the way. Problem was that each of those images shows up as a separate post to your followers. So all my followers saw half a horse, then another half a horse. Then there were 3 images of blue sky, and since I have 2 Instagram accounts, one personal and one for the podcast, I shared it to both. So some people saw the post a total of 18 times. I also had toggled the share to Facebook button, so my Facebook friends saw them too. I lost several followers. I did get more engagement, though, and some family members would like each image, ensuring that I was clogging everyone's feed for days on end. Have you guys had any funny experiences like that on social media?
It just ends.
Wait, he didn't tell us his podcast?
That's great.
No, it's the next call. He has a follow-up call that we'll listen to.
Okay.
How funny. Do you know what he's talking about, the mosaic?
Yeah, I do.
You do too?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to delete it before it went out. I saw it happen, and I went, oh, fuck, I don't want that to happen. And then I stopped.
You're scared
it
of mosaics? What's going on?
Because it did the same thing. It caught up an image that I didn't want people to see, you know, eight different shards of whatever it was. It was a bad thing to cut up.
Bad look.
Okay. Yeah, it was a bad thing to be cut.
You did an awesome one, number one fan.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of the mosaics on my Instagram. And people
You
do.
Know how to fucking do it.
People write, it's just an app. It's very simple. I'll show you later. Okay. But people do write like, oh, what is this? What is that? Why is this a picture of a belly button?
Right.
And usually I just don't respond.
And you got to say it's a hole. Like you have to look at your...
I just don't respond.
Ah, yeah, I know.
Who has time for that? I've got one life to live. If you can't
Jacques,
figure it out.
Yeah. Jacques, where's Jacques? Or whatever. Yeah. Jacques, do you know about the mosaic? Like you,
you explain it to the dogs.
Jacques, you kill two birds.
It's just like sacre bleu.
yeah. But that is funny. And also what's funny is that if people like your thing in the Facebook, it does show up in people. Like I sometimes when I look at my Facebook feed, not to brag, I have a very nice Facebook feed. And
great Facebook.
What?
It says it's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really. Let's listen to this guy's second call. Good guy, by the way. I like this guy.
Hey there. Called back again. Just didn't want you to think that I'm just bugging my podcast. So thought you could just either you decide to just put that one up or, but if you do decide to let me talk about my podcast, you can put this one on too. So it's called Beyond the Confines and it's about people that are going against the grain, doing strange jobs or traveling to cool places. Since the U.S. is imploding, maybe the solution is to move to Italy. That's right. Italy. I've got Damien O'Farrell that will tell you what you need to do to be able to come here legally. Also, I also live here. It's not that easy, but there is an incentive for retired people where you can pay only 7% tax. You can also buy a house for €1 in a small town that needs some new investors as long as you agree to fix it up.
You got to fix it up.
Or if you love animals, there's an episode about a couple that traveled across Mongolia for 5 months on horseback. There's also Chef Reno Cruz, who's from California, that cooks for top musicians like Linkin Park, cooked for top musicians like Linkin Park, Motley Crue, and Prince. I know it's not for Eddie, but he gives advice about marinating meat and fish for barbecue season. And if anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, I swear I won't clog your feed. I've learned my lesson. Thanks.
Did you catch the name of
it?
No, he didn't say it.
No, he said it,
but it was so quick. I'm gonna go back and try to figure that out.
That's how you get shit done on our podcast. You just make it mysterious.
You love animals as long as you agree to.
Oh, man.
In a small town that needs some...
Hold on, everybody. Sorry.
So he lives in Italy?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I'm about to move there. A
euro? I'll go buy a house for you.
Now, listen for the name of this podcast. I know, right?
Let's just go buy a block in Italy.
Yeah,
let's
go we'll buy go a buy. Block
that would be funny. Like, I'll just take 6-7 houses here. Okie dokie. That's my Italian accent.
You and I are Italian. We could actually go back to our roots.
Let's listen again. I want to hear that name of the pie.
Are you Italian?
Hey there.
No, but I love Italy.
Called back again. Just didn't want you to think that I'm just bugging my podcast. So thought you could just either you decide to just put that one up or, but if you do decide to.
Here it is. Here it's coming.
Let me talk about my podcast. I'll you can put this one on too. So it's called Beyond the Confines and it's about people that are going against the grain.
Wow, you're good.
Is that what he said?
The element confines.
The element confines?
Something like that.
We all become something.
What does it say, Emma?
I thought he said we all become something.
Oh, we all become fine?
We all become fine.
Maybe?
Or vines, maybe? I don't know. I didn't catch the last word.
So if you could call back.
This is a bad sign.
Yeah, please call back. Because you were great. A great call. Oh, yeah. We have one more call that came in while we were on the air.
Oh, this should be
entertaining. It doesn't look like it's a good one, but...
Uh-oh.
It just... Well, let's see.
How
let's
can
see.
You tell?
Because you see the transcription.
Uh-oh.
But sometimes the transcription is wrong. Here we go.
Hey, Eddie. It's us out in YouTube land. There's no audio.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Bye.
there was an issue with the audio. It's been fixed.
It's been fixed.
What, Emma?
There was an issue with the audio like a half hour ago, but it got fixed.
Okay. But when we replay, when people go to play it, they'll hear it.
It should be okay.
Yeah, this is a good sign. People are actually watching on YouTube.
Yeah, live.
You know what? You know what my inscription says? Hey, Eddie, it's us out and you too bland. I thought somebody...
YouTube bland.
YouTube bland, Eddie.
Great. All right.
That's that voice. Voice that's telling you not good enough.
See? Oh, I have that voice.
This is going all the time. Poor thing.
Okay. Yvette, you're going to read an ad now. And I hope this is a good one. Netflix.
I've heard of them.
They're a new sponsor. I know you have. They're a new sponsor. And, use your acting chops.
You want like an accent or something?
No. Well, whatever you want, you know.
No direction is the best direction. Right, right. Just do your best.
All right. I wish I had read this before.
I know. It's cold reading.
Okay.
It's a cold reading. You know, I do that to all our guests. I make them cold read some.
Netflix is gearing up for the summer season with a... I don't even know. Cavalcade.
A bunch of shit.
So Netflix is gearing up for the summer Stevenson with a lot of shit. Can't miss shows and specials. Everyone is looking forward to Adam Sandler's Fart Police, an international team separating those who smelt it from those who dealt it. A 64 episode series that surely rounds out Sandler's Deal with the Devil. I mean, come on. Critics are raving the sci-fi thriller Dark Blob. Two and a half hours of smeary dark images are painted across the screen while the sound of twisting metal screeches in the background. Some are saying that it's incorrectly copied digital files. Others are calling it a brave tour de force. Either way, expect 5 more seasons of it. Lunch is a brave new cinematic triumph featuring uncomfortably close documentary footage of random mouths eating lunch. Experience eating like you've never wanted. Lunch. An unnamed show featuring either Wanda Sykes or Amy Poehler. It's probably something about being a mom or a woman cop, maybe. According to the law of spontaneous generation, if you leave a camera on in a room long enough, either Amy Poehler or Wanda Sykes will appear. And because no one asked, Netflix is premiering 1,000 comedy specials featuring comedians from across the globe who can stand in front of a microphone and list what meds they're taking. Netflix, because you will watch anything.
Thank you. That was great.
Gosh, Matt, great ads.
Yeah. What minute are we on, Emma?
An hour 12.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. And we never got to our sketch. We never got to our fucking sketch.
Next time.
Would you come back? We would love to have you back.
You were a great guest. Proof that I'm not just saying that. We went an hour 12.
Right.
I know.
We've never gone that long. And you never asked the time.
We haven't gone over 13 minutes.
Yeah. Usually you shout out to Emma. Where are we at?
I know. You didn't have to do that. It was great. I bet you were great.
Oh,
And did you know that we are now on Spotify? Well, we totally are. SoundCloud, too. And I know a portion of you are watching this live on YouTube. And you can't hear us. But you know what? It isn't about the words. It's about what you're getting from us visually. Right? A lot of you assholes out there are so fucking concerned with the words.
Of a podcast.
The nerve.
The goal.
A lot of you people just listen to podcasts for the words. There's a lot more
stuff going on.
This is about visual imagery, and all three of us were choreographers. Okay. I know a portion of you watching this live on the YouTubes, but we are everywhere you can get hot podcast action. We make it easy for you to fill your day with... Matt has watched a lot of porn, apparently. You can just tell.
Totally.
Hot podcast action.
I don't want to know what kind.
No, I don't want to know what kind either. We make it easy for you to fill your day with pep talks, and you can fill our day with joy by writing a friendly review, subscribing or clicking the like button. But for some of you, that is, just isn't enough. You have a need to thrust your love upon us and pump hot appreciation deep into our wanting and sweaty podcast.
How
and you're
weird.
Right. Yeah. We totally want it. I'm literally asking you for it. I've even made it super easy with a donate button on our website. Yeah, we have a donate button now. And me and Steve never do that. We had one donation so far. It was a good donation.
Eddie got all of it. So.
I didn't touch it, by the way. Oh. It's going to be in our... We'll have a fund.
It's a fund.
Eddie got all of it. $25.
That's a lot, man.
What that means 12.5 is yours.
Oh.
Be a super fan and throw money at us. And hey, if you ain't doing nothing, why not contact the show? We'd love to hear from you. Again, the number's 424-262-0904. Fan, and you can email us at fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. Visit peptalkspodcast.com. Our engineers today, it's Emma Erdbrink, also Aaron Brungart. Our producer is Matt Rasamoto. Yvette, we'll have you back for sure.
Great.
Watch. And what's your Instagram account? The Hottest Nerd. Mm-hmm. At The Hottest Nerd. Yeah. So check out Yvette at The Hottest Nerd on Instagram.
I mean, if you want like videos of me feeding dogs really bougie food.
That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, but you're going to be doing a lot of stuff, I feel like.
I just started creating more content that isn't just about feeding dogs.
Do you have anything you want to promote upcoming?
What are you feeding the dogs next week?
We've been on this quiche kick. I'm really into
quiche?
It. Yeah, doggy quiche.
I know, I saw that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doggy quiche.
It's great because then I can cook one day and not again for the rest of the week, which is great because
that's
I had
awesome.
Been cooking
oh,
every
you can
day.
Make a big quiche, mm-hmm. right?
I make three quiches that will feed them for a week if I pair it with other food. Anyway... Yeah, I'm pretty boring on social media. It's not really my strong point.
No, but you're talking about doing a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah,
so I want
yeah.
people to follow you on The Hottest Nerd. And Stevie, you had a couple of things to promote.
Yes, May 25th, I will be at the Ice House main room, 10 p.m. And June 22nd, 23rd, I'm at the Los Angeles Stand-Up Comedy Festival. And I might have a couple short films in there. So
nice.
I'll let you know. And Eddie?
Yes, I am going to be in the Boston area. I haven't been to Boston in a long time, and I know a lot of you, you know, have been asking me about, oh, come to Boston. So I'm coming to Boston, and it's going to be – I'm going to give you the dates and where it is coming up, but it'll be about the beginning of June. I'll be doing maybe Boston, New Hampshire, perhaps Maine. We'll see. We'll see. I have to put this together, but someone asked me to come up to – Massachusetts. So I'm gonna do a bunch of shows. All right, that's it. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.